We're going to take a look at some of the timing of the events in Acts 9, just to kind of put this kind of together as far as what's going on. We were talking about the conversion of Saul. There's the disagreement as far as when he was saved and what message he heard when he was saved. But then we kind of determined, well, who cares? Because it doesn't really matter, because that's not what the point of the conversion story, the details of his conversion, are not about how he got saved or what message he heard, but it's about a change that's going on. And so there's a change that we're seeing that's happening during this time, that's what's important to really understand. Saul was raised up most people think it's a continuation of the work of the apostles. But why can't the apostles do their job and spread the gospel out? There is no reason to raise Paul up, because the 12 apostles certainly are well qualified to bring the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And that's in fact what will happen in the tribulation period. We're going to see that gospel of the kingdom going to the whole world. And when the whole world is heard, that's when the end is going to come and Jesus Christ is going to come as the second coming. But raising up Paul as the 13th, and many think he should have been the 12th, they really get confused here, because they don't rightly divide Scripture. They think that Paul was raised up, he should have been in place of Judas, or they see him as the 13th apostle, just carrying on the work, instead of with Israel, with the world. So they really don't understand what's going on with this. What God is telling us is that there's a whole new thing going on. It's a whole new process, a whole new dispensation that's coming into play here. And that's why it's so important to understand what Paul is doing here. So, but it does help, I think, sometimes to take and look at a timeline of how these events lay out. Because sometimes we get the idea that these things happen in a short period of time, when actually it happened over at least 35 years. And so we're looking at events that have gone on in as far as the beginnings of the dispensation of grace have been covered in Acts for about 35 years. So we're looking at from Acts, well, all of Acts, you can kind of figure 35 years. Paul, Saul, in fact, if we take a look, and maybe I should have had a timeline that we could have. I think I passed out one earlier. And I do have one. Do you need a timeline? I can run one off. But if we take a look at Jesus' ministry, we know that Jesus was in active ministry, we think, for the 3 years. And during that time he's on earth, we've got 3 years of Jesus. We also, at his crucifixion and ascension, if we just kind of take that as the end of his ministry, we have 1 year. One extra year that's brought in there, and it's during that year, if we go to Luke 13, and it says, he told this parable, a man had a fig tree which he planted in his vineyard, he came looking for fruit on it, didn't find any. This is God looking for fruit in his vineyard, which is Israel. And he said to the vine keeper, behold, for 3 years I've been looking for fruit. Well, here's the 3-year ministry that Jesus has been looking at in Israel, checking for fruit to see if Israel is producing any fruit. And he said, I've come looking for fruit without finding any. Cut it down. It doesn't. Why is it taking up the ground? Just get rid of it. He answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, till I dig around it. So now we're talking about another year. And so there's another year that, let me work with Israel and see if we can produce fruit in her. That one extra year comes at the point of when Peter is talking of the events in Acts 1 through 7. And that one extra year basically ends with Stephen being stoned, and at that point, that year time that was Israel's given was terminated, and God at that point got rid of the opportunity for Israel to go into the kingdom immediately. They still have they still will be going into the kingdom. So never, don't confuse that. What it is really delayed. And the delay of the kingdom is what happened at that point. God took the offer off the table, but it's only a temporary taking off. And so that offer will go back to Israel, and Israel will accept. And that kingdom will be set up in the after the tribulation period. So, yeah, Mary.
And because that offer was taken off the table, is that why we know that prophecy is not being fulfilled today?
Prophecy is related to the kingdom message. And when the kingdom message left, that's when prophecy started dying out. The other reason to have prophecy is to prove it's a message from God. So Paul, and it was related to Israel, the miracles, signs, and wonders were given because Israel needed a sign. So God gave Israel as many signs, you know, thousands of signs with all the healings going on, showing Israel as a sign that he is the Messiah. Now Paul comes along and will be doing the same thing that Peter's been doing, the miracles, signs, and wonders, but that really indicates God is indicating to Israel, this man is my man. And so now he has the message that he's caring for me. And so that's how that was used, but it's always as a sign for Israel. Does that? Okay. So that's why during the Acts period we're seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, because it's really a message to Israel that there's a change, and Paul is now in command. And it's a sign also for the 12 who are in the Hebrew church in Jerusalem, so that they know that God is working. So we see that happening here. This is marks kind of the end of Israel as far as how God is dealing with Israel. And marks, and I'm going to put another year. Go to Acts 8, or 7, Acts 7. No, I'm sorry, Acts 8. And we see at this point, this is right after Stephen was murdered. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, on verse 1. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And then it goes into details about Philip and so on. But we see that there's a great... and Saul is part of this persecution that's going against the little flock of believers. I think that lasted about a year. Scripture doesn't say. So there's kind of a year gap here between Saul being saved and the persecution of the church. Now you have to remember that this 1 year that Israel was given included the offer of the kingdom, but that offer of the kingdom was rescinded. That's what that 1 year, I believe, is about. Saul didn't get saved until later, because there's a lot of persecution going on after Stephen died. And that persecution had to take a certain amount of time, and it had to relate to Saul. And it related to his involvement in what was going on, so it had to take a number of weeks or months in order for those in Jerusalem to flee because of the persecution, and for Saul to start chasing him down as they're fleeing to go into Damascus. So I put about a year, although again, that's not biblically, I can't prove it biblically, only I can show that it seems that there'd be a time span in there, after Stephen was killed, persecution began, people fleeing Jerusalem to get out of there, because that's where it was against the Hebrew church, and then Saul going out and hunting them down because they fled to other parts. So, there's kind of a gap here then between that 1 year that was given, Stephen dying, Saul being raised up. I don't have a problem with it because that 1 year given, I think, included the offer of the kingdom. Now, during this time, they're still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. People are being saved into the kingdom. And that's fine because that kingdom still is going to be given to Israel. Those who believe during this 1 year time will go into the kingdom. But that kingdom now is going to come in after... we've got the 7 year and the kingdom. So now that kingdom is going to come in the future instead of coming in down over here. That kingdom could have come in, there could have been a 7 year tribulation following this if Israel had believed, and instead of stoning Stephen, if they believed Stephen, there had been a 7 year tribulation and then the kingdom. But they rejected Stephen. God then changed his plans. Well, no, he actually...
put his new plan into...
From our standpoint, he changed his plans. From his standpoint, it's a continuous line. God had already planned this out. That now he's going to raise up Saul and bring in the body of Christ and the mystery. And then Saul, now we're seeing all these changes happening because Acts is chronicling the downfall of Israel. And so Israel is becoming less and less important.
So there was still, during that year after Stephen was stoned, there's still Jews coming into the kingdom. It's just that the kingdom is not going to be soon.
That's right.
So it's taken off the table, but you can still be a part of it for the future.
So for instance, we see Philip going out, and they're going up into Samaria.
Yeah.
All right, and they're going into and evangelizing. Well, what gospel would they be preaching? It's still the gospel of the kingdom. Those who are saved will go into the kingdom.
Those are bona fide... little flock of believers.
They're the little flock of believers that they're still going out and bringing in. And we see the Philip going out to the Ethiopian eunuch, for instance, in chapter 8. Well, that eunuch who believed at that point was now in the kingdom. He was part of Israel's kingdom as a proselyte.
Yeah. But eventually... those Jews would be just like Gentiles and be in the grace.
That's right. And so when Saul was saved at this point here, there's a division between kingdom and grace. And Saul, as the pattern for all those who would follow him in this... the body of Christ, anyone saved on this side now is saved into the body, even if they heard the gospel of the kingdom.
So Peter and the apostles, after Saul is saved, are really not doing kingdom saving anymore?
Because it takes a while for the message to get out. Saul was saved, he didn't even know much of anything. The disciples are still doing their job and they're still evangelizing. They're still talking about the kingdom. They know nothing else. But now people who get saved, God is putting them into the container of the body of Christ. There's a lot of discussion about how that works. Well, some say if we go out to the end of Acts, that during this time here, that it depended on what gospel they heard, would depend on which container they're going in. Are you going into the kingdom or are you going into the body of Christ? That doesn't seem to be the indication, because it says that Saul is our pattern. And anyone following Saul is now going to be put into the body. So, as a pattern, well, that means anyone following him is going to go there. I also think that those who understood and believed the gospel message will come to an understanding of the grace message. Just like those who were in, who believed in God before Jesus Christ came, John talks about that there's none who are going to be lost. That's that transaction between believing God and believing Jesus Christ. And all those who believed in God, when Jesus Christ was born, they had to believe in Jesus Christ. And now they would have come to an understanding. I think, what was that, John 6, so that, or John 10?
There might have been some Jewish believers post Stephen's stoning who eventually would be grace believers.
Yes, absolutely.
In that 1 year time.
In that 1 year time.
We don't know how many or what, but so it's a transitional.
It's transitional. Ann, you had a question? Okay, maybe I saw your arm. I thought I saw Ann's arm, but maybe it was your arm. Go ahead. You have girly arms. go ahead.
Anyway, I'm just I'm confused. That's something to do. You know, the men who were with Saul, you know, they didn't see anything, but they were speechless, but they heard something.
Yes.
And probably could assume that they couldn't understand the words that were being spoken. But wouldn't you think that Saul would tell them that he was blind, that he saw, you know, Christ? Christ told him this?
Boy, you would certainly think so. And we know that at that time he went right into the city of Damascus, as far as we know. They brought him there because he was blind. He was sitting in the house of Judas on the street called Straight. And it was 3 days later that Ananias came to him and he received his sight. And then it says that he was going then and going into the synagogues and telling people what Christ had done, but there's no indication that he said anything before that. And maybe it was the shock and trying to process what was happening. It might be another indication too that he's not saved at that point until Ananias comes to him, because you would think that he would now turn to, I just got saved, I understand who Jesus Christ is, here's what you guys need to do. But he didn't do that. The first indication that he starts witnessing Christ is in the synagogues after he received the sight.
Well, there's no indication that the people with him were persecuted the Jews either.
Right. We just don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
I guess I'm not confused.
Well, not confused, it's just not the information that's there. Yeah. The only confusion about it is that you thought you were confused.
Well, I thought you knew.
Yeah.
Aren't you confused?
All right, let's move on. Nothing like being confused about whether you're confused or not. After Stephen's death, and the offer was now off the table, but the gospel of the kingdom is still going out. Saul had not been raised up yet as the apostle, and it doesn't bother me that there's that extra year in here. Even though the Bible talks about 1 year, I think there is more time between Stephen dying and Saul being raised up. That used to bother me. It doesn't anymore. Because I can see kind of how it's moving along, that it was the offer of the kingdom that was rescinded, but the gospel of the kingdom was still being preached. And those that heard it still went into the gospel, or into the kingdom, or they will go into the kingdom, but the kingdom's been just delayed as far as man is concerned. Now, the only ones, and during this time of persecution, we see that great persecution happening during this time, and it indicates that there's many people left Jerusalem at that time, but specifically the only people that are said to have stayed that are believers are the apostles, the only ones that stayed in Jerusalem at that point in time. And so the apostles now are staying in Jerusalem. We see that in Acts 8, as we can continue here. Verse 3, but Saul began in Acts 8:3, but Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So it spread the word. Now people take this as, well, look at the gospel's being spread because of what's going on, and they confuse this gospel of the kingdom. They're preaching the gospel, aren't they? But has the gospel of grace been revealed yet? No, it's been revealed through Saul, and he hadn't been saved yet. So it would have to be the gospel of the kingdom that they're preaching at this point. And so then it talks about Philip as being him preaching the word. He went to the city of Samaria. So he goes north of Jerusalem, which is where a lot of people were scattered. And that's why Saul went up north, and Damascus is about 135 miles north of Jerusalem, and so it's a fair trip that it would take him several days to get up to that point. And so he is now giving chase to the saints who fled Jerusalem. He ran out of people to torment in Jerusalem, apparently, and so now he's running after those that had left Jerusalem, and apparently a lot of them maybe went into Damascus looking for some kind of a safety. And so we see in Acts 9:21, those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, isn't this he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? That's Saul as he was in Damascus. And they're looking at him and saying, who is this guy? Isn't he the same guy that was going against Christ? And now he's preaching Christ? So, a lot of things were happening during this time after Stephen had died. And a lot of the persecution that was going on, in my mind, would have to take at least about a year's time or so.
Well, I know that we all know this, but all of Christendom doesn't understand that. And this was only to Jews.
At this point, in fact, we even get later into Acts 12, where it talks about that they're out and they're going to the Jews only yet. Yeah. And so there's actually been a number of years that have passed and they're still going to the Jews only. Even after Saul has gotten saved. And so it's confusing to a lot of people as to why are the Jews the only ones, and they come up with excuses as to why it's only Jews, because they don't understand that the message, that's where the message was going, to the Jews. Jesus came to the Jews, you know, he came to his own. Well, not believers, he came to the Jews. So people twist and turn scripture and take away what it's trying to say.
I think because we believe every word that it says. You know, if I saw this before I knew right the vision, I would have skipped right over it.
Yeah.
But I thought the message went to everybody, because Jesus is my Savior.
Most people read into scripture, they read between the lines instead of reading what it actually says. And that's the big problem. One of the big problems with that. So once Saul was saved, and that would be this point here, approximately, in my mind anyway, 2 years after Jesus ascended, and Israel was given that one extra year, and then there was persecution going on at that point. And then Saul was saved, and following that, it says in Acts 9:19, time-wise, it gives us some time, but doesn't give us a whole lot here. For several days, he was with the disciples. King James says, for certain days. So these certain days, just the number of days. So he stayed with the disciples there after he was saved in Damascus, and he stayed there for a number of days. So there could have been a week that he stayed there. Maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little shorter. We just don't know. But it's we see also, and if we could drop down to verse 23, it says, and when many days had elapsed, And the many days that we see in verse 23 is a longer period of time than that several days that he was there in Damascus after his conversion. Now it seems that the many days includes the 3 years that he mentions in Galatians. So we have approximately 3 years of Saul. We have the many days that are mentioned. And that many days seems to line up with Galatians. And if we go to Galatians, we'll see that he was, let's go down to 17. Well, let's go to 15. But when God, who had set me apart, Galatians 1:15, when God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me, so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. So, he went into Damascus. He's not really talking about much. Of course, he had Ananias. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. So, we've got him traveling. I should have had my maps up here. But Arabia kind of covers a large area south of Jerusalem. It actually, there's a part of Arabia that actually goes up into close to Damascus. So it actually can cover a whole big area. Normally it's thought of as that area that's down by the Red Sea. So if you have where the children of Israel wandered in the desert, that includes Arabia. And it's between the Red Sea and the Sea of something else. What is that? Got kind of the fingers that come up there. No, not even close. Thank you. So apparently we don't have anyone that knows geography. Yes, that's it.
Sure.
Yeah, that helps. And so we have the kind of the two fingers that are going like this, you know, and they were kind of wandering in that deserty area between those areas south of the Nile and south of Jerusalem. And anyway, it'd be so much easier if I just had that map here. But so in verse 23, in Galatians 1:7, it seems to indicate that there was a time that he went down to Arabia, and he went down to Arabia, and then it talks about being 3 years later coming back into Damascus. Now, it actually was, and I did mention this, that I want to just make sure that we got that. While Paul was staying with the disciples for the few days in Damascus, and this may have, it gets confusing here, because these many days, he could have stayed in Arabia for the 3 years, or he could have traveled down to Arabia, then back into Damascus during that 3 years. And so the time that it mentions being in Damascus in Acts 9:20, it says, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. So he went and started telling people what happened to him. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who are called in the name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound for the chief priests? But Paul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus was the Christ. Now that sounds like it's more time than just a few days, doesn't it? That he was spent a number of weeks, perhaps, in Damascus, defending Christ, going to different synagogues and confounding the Jews. He made quite a splash there. And perhaps during that 3 year period, he was not just down in Arabia, but went also into Damascus, and he went back and forth. Again, Scripture isn't absolutely clear on that, and you can make a case that he didn't stay in Arabia for 3 years. It does seem that it just says he was in Arabia, and that he was there in verse 17, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, returned once more to Damascus, Then 3 years later, he went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, Paul, and stayed with him 15 days. All right, so we have the traveling here of Paul, who seemingly went down to Arabia, went into Damascus, and then went back down to Jerusalem. Now, Damascus is up here. Jerusalem, like I said, 135 miles apart. And Arabia is down here, another 100 plus miles to the south. So, if Paul went from Damascus, went down to Arabia for 3 years, then it says he went into Damascus and then down into Jerusalem. He would have stayed in Damascus more than, he wouldn't have just said hi, he would have been there for a while because it's a fair trip. He's doing a lot of traveling here. And so he probably went down to Arabia, then went up to Damascus and stayed there for a while, confounding the Jews as he's preaching. And then he went down into Jerusalem. So all I'm saying is that there's not a lot of information on this, but we know that it took 3 years for him to go into some of these areas here, that he went from Arabia to Damascus and then into Jerusalem. We don't know how much time he spent in each area. And that's the first time then after the 3 years that he meets up with Peter, and he is with Peter for 15 days while he's in Jerusalem. So there's 15 days that are part of his timeline in Jerusalem. I believe that he spent, and we'll talk about this later, that in Arabia he was there for 40 days and then went back up to Damascus for the rest of that time and then went back down here. We'll talk about that probably next week. Mary.
Well, he was 15 days with Peter. I would love to have been there.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yes, it would be, but now it makes me think, and that is before Peter ever went to Cornelius. Oh, yeah.
Well, during this time, I believe Peter had already seen Cornelius. As Saul is down in Arabia and in Damascus for the 3 years, that's when we're given the story of Cornelius. So God had already primed him for these changes.
Then I have to bring this up because I thought if we're talking 5 years out now with the three.
No, we've only got the 3 years and then 15 days with Peter.
So Stephen to 15 days.
So Saul was raised up.
Mm-hmm. Year after Stephen.
And then we're given 3 years. All right, so we're at that point here, and the 3 years he went down to Arabia, and then it says and into Damascus again.
Every timeline says that Peter went to Cornelius 8 to 10 years after the crucifixion. So
I'll check that out a little closer this week and see. But maybe I'll change my mind because I haven't looked at that real carefully yet. But I'll check that out. Anything else?
Is Arabia, is that like a country, right?
Arabia is actually more of an area.
It kind of looks like Arabia kind of comes up and Damascus is... So it's
Yeah, it's interesting because Arabia covers a whole area kind of down into here. Here's the fingers, if you will, and the peninsula that... where the wilderness is?
If you went to the very northern part of that Arabia, it's almost like Damascus is due west of it.
It's just at the tip. Arabia comes up and is very close to Damascus. And so, like I said, it covers a huge area. So Paul could have gone to anywhere, basically, and he'd be in Arabia. But I think there's a very specific spot in Arabia he went to, and that's probably where Moses was at when he got the law. We'll talk about that next week because I think we're kind of running out of time. And it gets a little complicated because now we're going to add in 14 years after this. And that 14 years, we can either add the 14 years onto this or we can talk about 14 years from his conversion. So again, it's not totally clear, but it seems that that 14 years includes up to the time when he goes to Jerusalem for the council at Jerusalem to tell the people, to tell the leaders of Israel what he's doing, the leaders of the Hebrew church.